I told David, I said, I think so.
He said, vacation.
No, we're not on vacation till like the last day.
Yeah, he was making vacation. He said, they won't come back yet.
Where you gonna go on vacation?
St. Kitts.
What?
St. Kitts. St. Kitts, it's an island, a pretty island.
Oh, what? Oh, I see. I was trying to think about an island that, by that name. Is it Caribbean thing?
Like, I should go right back.
Hello. Hey, I'm here.
Want to wish everybody a good afternoon. Glad we're all here. And let's do number nine. Want to welcome the people that are listening in the radio audience. Welcome, we're glad you're listening, and I hope you're learning something out of our talks. Number nine. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. He hided my soul in the cleft of the rock, where in rivers of pleasure I see. He hided my soul in the cleft of the rock, that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hided my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. He taketh my burden away. He holdeth me up, and I shall not be moved. He giveth me strength as my day. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand. With numberless blessings each moment he crowns, and fills with his fullness divine. I sing in my rapture, oh glory to God, for such a redeemer as mine. He hides my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hides my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand. When clothed in his brightness, transported I rise to meet him in clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation is wonderful love. I'll shout with the millions on high. He hides my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hides my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand. Student number 40. Then after this song, Brother DeMario is going to lead our minds in prayer. Number 40.
Be with me, Lord, I cannot live without thee. I dare not try to take one step alone. I cannot bear the loads of life unaided. I need thy strength to lean myself upon. Be with me, Lord, and then if danger strikes,
Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we come to you again so thankful that we're able to gather, we're able to be together tonight. Father, we are thankful for the many blessings that you share with us. We're thankful for our health and our families. Father, there are others in our congregation and our number that are not able to be with us, that are suffering from illness and physical problems. We pray that you will look over them, help them to heal. Help them to be able to come back and join us. Father, we have many natural disasters that are taking place throughout the United States. We've had problems in the Texas area. We have problems in New Mexico. They're having flooding out east. Father, please continue to help those people to do the things they need to do to be safe and help them to deal with the suffering that they're going through. Father, as we go through our lesson tonight, please help us to listen and pay attention and apply these things to our lives. Help us to learn to share those things with the folks that we meet in our community. Father, be with us and take care of us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Let's do number 48. Number 48. Number 40.
Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go. Anywhere he leads me in this world below. Anywhere without him dearest joys would fade. Anywhere with Jesus I am not afraid. Anywhere, fear I cannot know. Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go.
Mark number 23 in your songbook. That'll be the song of encouragement after class. After class, number 23. All things are ready. The invitation song. Then after you've marked that, we'll sing number 824, and then we'll have our class. Number 824.
Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away.
Philippians chapter 1. We'll talk about a short introduction here just to kind of set the stage of where we're going and what we're talking about tonight. The book of Philippians, and I always question these dates sometimes when they say this book was written at this time because I think that's a little iffy. But they say between 58 and 60 AD is probably when this book was written. Paul at this time had been taken, as we know, had been taken a prisoner in Jerusalem, and in Judea, I should say. Anyway, he had been there, imprisoned there for quite a while. He had been shipped to Rome, and he spent quite a while in Rome. We don't know exactly how long. We know that at the end of Acts, it says that he had been there for 2 years in his own house, guarded by soldiers. And we find in Philippians here, as we get to it, that was the Praetorian Guard, that was his guard, which was the guard of the king, really, or the emperor, and they were watching over him during that period of time. We'll talk more about that as we get into Philippians. But anyway, Paul was a prisoner, and it's one of the letters, these letters that are called the prison epistles, or prison letters that Paul wrote while he was there. I'm guessing, and this is another one of those guesses, kind of like the dates, but you know, the Jewish men became considered adults, or that they could go out and into the world and teach, like Jesus was 30 years old when he started. If Paul was 30 years old when he started his ministry, his life, Paul could be easily in his 60s, you know, around 60 or older by this time when he was taken into Rome, taken to Rome as a prisoner. And so when Paul first went, most of the people had not heard the gospel preached as he went into, but we know that in Acts again it tells us that both the Gentiles and Jewish people came to him and he taught them, and that some listened and obeyed and some did not, as you know, kind of became divisive and such. And we're going to see maybe some of that divisiveness in the early part of the chapter. But I like the way that Paul explains it. I don't know if we're going to get that far today as we go into our text. So let's start in Philippians chapter 1 and read the first two verses. This mic is not turned on. That makes a difference. Maybe.
Okay, that's a little better, huh? Okay. Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Paul always talks about himself, that he was not his own, but that he had been bought with a price. To call himself and Timothy bond servants meant that they had were men that had decided to give themselves fully to Christ, that they were in service completely to Christ. Bond servants were literally people that agreed to continue with their masters, free will, to be their slaves, if you will, or their servants for life. And so we find that here, Paul is saying that's what he and the Timothy were to Christ and to God, bondservants of Christ Jesus. And to all the saints in Christ Jesus. So why would he say to the saints that are in Christ Jesus in Philippi? Who were the saints? The Christians, yeah. It's we find this term saints, of course, used much more often than the term Christian in the Bible in referring to Christians, that they were saints. And so I always like to, you know, talk about, you know, Saint Odell over here and Saint Don back there and so on. And we kind of flinch at that, don't we? You know, me a saint? Because we think about what some people put that title on.
But as far as God is concerned, we're holy ones, right? As Christians, we're holy ones. They were holy ones. That's who Paul was talking to. And so we find that's who he's writing to here. And I think it's interesting the way he puts this, and maybe the translation, some other translations orders it differently, but he says, including overseers and deacons. Like the saints, and then the leaders that are in the church, right? The overseers, is, of course, we know is another word for elder, and elder of the church, and deacons, of course, that's very clear. We see this in 1 Timothy chapter 2, where Paul is talks, you know, describes and tells them what their responsibilities were to do as far as elders and deacons are concerned. Okay, grace and to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, this is a greeting that Paul often uses. And I should mention here that, you know, sometimes some authorships or some books are disputed, like we might say the Apostle Paul wrote this, but nearly everybody accepts the fact that this was the Apostle Paul that was writing this letter to the church of Philippi. And so we see this greeting that Paul often used in his letters, grace and peace to you. You know, isn't that good that, you know, you want you to have God's grace and be in full blend with that and to be at peace with God and with Christ and have the peace of God that dwells within us? Yes, sir. No, not here. There are, I know of Christians that are lawmakers.
And the Bible tells us that if man's law goes against God's law and man condemns us, we have to go along with it and we have to be punished. If that be God's will, then that's what we have to suffer through. But God will break those bars and he'll let us out of that bondage. And when we do get out of that bondage, we know we're under grace now. We're no longer under man's law. And if we become, it brings to our attention the study that we find in the Bible of that man's breaking God's law. And if we keep quiet and we just keep on turning our head and turning our closing our eyes and not seeing what's going on, that's a generation of young people that are suffering due to man's law being incorrect, going against God's law, and they're suffering that and they feel like they're ashamed. I just got a feeling that some young kids are feeling out there ashamed today. And I know God's got a better plan. He don't want us to feel that. He wants us to prosper. He wants all to prosper, not just the lawmakers and the law enforcers. He wants all, and when the laws that man make go against God's law and the young people have to suffer because of the prejudice of man's law, and there are prejudices in man's law compared to God's law. God's law is sovereign and it's fair to all, and we trust that because we know that someday we're going to have to answer for what we do.
Well, we know that. We know that. Well, I think probably the same reason that they have over the many, many centuries that, you know, when the Romans were in, they believed in the gods of Zeus and so on.
We're far above that now because we're in the New Testament and it's the Old Testament revealed and we know what went on back there because we heard.
Well, I'm not saying we don't know and we shouldn't know. We do. Okay. It's okay. I understand. I mean, we look back at Paul. I mean, why was Paul in prison? Because there was laws that had been made that he had been put in prison and sent to Rome and was therefore. I mean, he said that they would have set him free if he hadn't appeared to Caesar, for example, and been sent to Rome. He, as we see here, one of the things I think about that Jesus. He fought against the Pharisees and Sadducees because of their traditions. But that when it came down to the point that, of course, he knew that they were the ones that were going to cause him to be crucified and sent to death that he went along. We would, if it's my no longer my will but thine be done, you said to God, no longer what I want but what you want. And so Jesus was crucified because of man's laws. But Paul here, I mean, many times, you know, in this case anyway, Paul doesn't, in Philippians, doesn't, you know, complain against the Romans or anything else, but he goes ahead and continues to live for Christ while he's there. And I think no matter where we are at and, you know, whatever situation we're found to be, we need to continue to live and be and teach Jesus Christ.
And then redemption at the cross.
That's right. Redemption at the cross. Redemption at the judgment when Jesus comes again. That's where our redemption comes from.
Is that when we get our salvation, when Jesus comes again?
Well, we're saved when we become a Christian. That's where eternal, well, you know, we will stand before God at that point when Jesus comes again. And be, the, you know, the Bible talks about that the righteous will be sent to go to heaven and the unrighteous will be sent to go to hell. Okay, let's continue on if you can, please. So in verse, picking it up in verse 3, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy and every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from this first day until now. Paul was very fond of the Philippians. What took Paul to Philippi? Do you remember? He had been in, well, what we would call Turkey today, and he had received a dream, right, that he was being called into Macedonia. And when he went to Macedonia, which is across into Greece, in northern Greece, where Philippi was, is that he was, that's where he met Lydia and led her to the river, and that was the first conversions there at Philippi. And she said, if you know, you consider me worthy, you know, let's meet together, and so on. So after they were baptized into Christ, they became Christians and went forward with him. But that Paul was there, and he helped to grow the church in Philippi and helped them to become Christians. He became very close to them and very dear to them, and they became dear, you know, it was a vice versa thing. He and them, they were, it was mutual fellowship and love with each other. Just a quick break, I received a message from one of my older students at, when I was teaching kids, young people in Kremenchuk, back in like, you know, in the early years, what for me early years, 2002 to 2008, during that time span. And she started coming first, and then she brought her brother. Her name was Zhenya, and she brought her brother Daniel. And Daniel is a very talented artist. But she just wrote me, and if you could have read the tears in between, her brother's been taken into the army. And she showed me a couple pictures of him being in the army, and she said, will you please pray for Daniel for me? And so he's been taken into the army, and so, you know, you get those feelings come back out. I mean, we think about this boy who his life, ever since he's been old enough to be on his own, has been an artist. And very, like I said, very talented. One time, they were over at my house, and he was just sketching on a piece of paper, and he drew a real fancy car and gave it to me. And I had it on my refrigerator for a long time. Wish I knew what happened to that piece of paper, but you know, you get dear, you get close to people. That's my point. And Paul was close to these people, and they were concerned for him. You know, they were concerned for Paul being in prison, being away from them. I mean, if he was in Rome and in prison of Rome under that period of time, they were concerned. It was about 60 A.D. when the Emperor Nero became emperor. And you know what Emperor Nero did? He blamed the Christians on burning Rome after he had supposedly, probably burnt down much of Rome in a drunken stupor. And he brought some of the heaviest persecutions against the Christians that they had faced. That was some of the earliest, well, the Jews had persecuted them, but I mean really, really tormenting them. Lions and, you know, things like that, you know, very, very bad things like that. And so this is approaching the time of Nero that Paul was in prison. We don't know if Paul, we know that he probably stood before the emperor, but we don't know, we're not told what emperor it was exactly. So that's kind of hard again to date it exactly. What? Go ahead. No, it's on. I'll talk a little loud. I like that.
Paul would have made at least two different stops in Philippi.
Uh-huh.
One, perhaps on his second missionary journey with Silas, and then this. And that's probably when Lydia and maybe the jailer were...
Yeah, I think it's on the second missionary journey. Mm-hmm.
Paul at this time, and it's obviously a strong suggestion that this is a later event than the initial one that where he went through.
Well, this sounds like Timothy. We never hear about Timothy being imprisoned
right.
with Paul, but maybe he was there as a companion
right.
With him during while he was in prison.
Somebody was taking his letters back and forth too.
So yeah, that's right. It could have been Timothy. We know that Paul at one time instructed Timothy and. You know, what he should do in going back. That's when Paul was in Athens, that Paul was apart from him for a while. But they're very close. You know, Paul considered Timothy as a son, as a spiritual son. And so we find that, you know, my point was just a very close tie here. And I like what he says here, first of all, that he's always praying for them. And every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. In other words, this was your ministry too, as much as it was mine. We did this together, this participation in the gospel, in sharing the good news. Okay, any other thoughts that you might have through verse 5? Okay, verse 6. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Now, I'm not sure who he's talking about here. He's talking about someone there in the church in Philippi, if he's actually talking about himself. But probably, I mean, who's the author of the gospel? Who's the author of this all is God, right? And so maybe he's asking that God would perfect this work in them until the time would come. Until the day of Christ. What would be the day of Christ? When he comes back, that's right. They were expecting Christ to come, to be ready for him. You read 1 Thessalonians, and it's very clear that the people were surprised that some of the Christians had died before Jesus came again. And that's why Paul wrote that. Yes. Well, that's why the letters were written, and that's why we have the Bible today, is so that it is effective to us as well today. I think that nearly everything that we read and hear, we can apply to ourselves. That's why we have it. Paul was inspired by God, and so he did have the Word of God. Well, that's right. I think that there's always people that we care about that won't listen, and we just have to keep on loving them, keep on praying for them, and going forth. Okay, and so...
People like that all the time.
What's that?
Paul dealt with people like that all the time.
Of course.
He preached the gospel to them, and sometimes they wanted to bring him out trying to stone him.
That's right. Yeah, they were very convicted. I mean, you look at Romans chapter 10, and Paul talks about, how the Jews were persecuting him, and that they had a zeal for what they were teaching, but it was not for righteousness, not for the right thing.
I'm
Brother, can we go on?
Yes.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Verse 7. For it is only right for me to feel this way about you all, because I have you in my heart, since both in my imprisonment and in defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of the grace with me. And so we find, again, he keeps on talking about this unity that he had with the church in Philippi. This is how we should feel with and towards each other, this unity that he's talking about here. It's only right, he says, for me to feel this way. There's nothing wrong for our, you know, how we feel about each other here. I have you in my heart. And why did he have them in the heart? Because, he says, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. So while I'm in prison, and also while I was carrying out the work of God, carrying it out and confirming the work of God here, that you all are partakers of the grace with me. We share in the grace of God when we are in Christ, when we're walking with Christ. We share in this. The greatest thing that we can have is to be in him and to know him. Yes? I've been to jails, but not in jail.
Well, you know that when you're in jail, you're behind bars, and sometimes you're in shackles, and sometimes you're in chains. And when God releases those chains and those bars, and you get to go out, you're under grace now, right? That's what Paul was under right now when we're talking. Paul was speaking grace, right?
He wasn't talking about grace because he was in jail. He was talking about the grace that we have in Jesus Christ. What is the bondage that we're released from as far as God is concerned?
Sin.
Sin is the bondage that we are released from.
Man's law?
No, that's not talking about man's law.
We are today because we know that man's law goes against God's law.
Sometimes it does, that's true.
But yeah, the grace he's talking about there is the grace that comes from being free from sin in Christ.
That's right, exactly. They could.
If we all repent, we can find that grace. Because sometimes we get in bondage. Sometimes we have to suffer persecution for God's sake because he's with us through it all. And we're comforted when we're in the bondage, when we're in the prison, when we're in the chains and the shackles. He's a chain breaker and a way maker. And I think if the youth would get to know that,
sir,
that we'd be able to.
We need to go on with the class, okay?
Yes.
Thank you. It's not that I don't want to hear what you have to say, but we need to keep it relevant to what our topic is and our study is tonight.
Grace, right?
What?
We're talking about grace.
Grace is all of God's favor that we can't do ourselves, that saves us from our sins. That's grace. Continuing on in verse 8. For God is my witness, how I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ. Again, you know, I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. Personal example again, right now, the AmeriCrane that I've been at the last 3 years is meeting now. It's carrying on. I've seen some pictures, heard some singing from that. By the way, there is, if you want to listen, you can go to Rescue Ukraine on Facebook at 11 o'clock on Saturday morning and listen to an hour of songs and such in Ukrainian language. And you'll know a lot of those songs. You'll recognize them by the tune. But I challenge you to try to sing along in English when they're singing in Ukrainian. That's a challenge in itself, but I heard some singing copied today from earlier session, and it's just beautiful. You got 400 people singing together in parts and such. It's very beautiful. But anyway, off the subject again, he says in verse 9, I pray that your love may still abound more and more in real knowledge and discernment. I know we think sometimes, you know, I'm a loving person, right? You're a loving person. I think we are. But what we have to do is love more and more. I want you to love more and more, right? to keep on loving and growing in your love. And married couples, okay? You love more now than you did the day that you were married? Yeah, that's... Don, how about it? Yes? Good man. Good nodding. You're smart. Yes.
It says greater love has no man than lay down your life for friends.
That's right.
And if you have a brother and you're willing to lay down your life for him and he dies before you do, and you find out maybe the reason why he died was because of the sin he was in, and people are still suffering from that same sin and dying of colon cancer because of the law that was enacted in 61, I just don't understand why we're not talking about that.
That's where it's starting to put the Philippians.
Yeah, and about grace.
This prayer for love, people get the wrong idea about what love means a lot of times. Like they think it means, you know, just to accept whatever. You know, we are loving people if we let people continue in sin. Well, that's certainly not the case.
No.
This says that we're to love in knowledge and discernment. That means we are to compare what we see with the holy truth. And if it's consistent with it, then we're to love that fully. But if not, then our love is correction, perhaps.
Well, that's right. And we aren't...
I hate to sin.
And we got this.
Yes. And if through his work we find it in there, we're supposed to enlighten others to help them in their walk.
That's what James is talking about.
Yes.
So,
and, you know...
What do you think... Because it uses... And it is two different things. Can you explain what you believe Paul writes here in verse 9, what is knowledge and what is discernment?
Well, there's a difference between knowing and how to use it. It's like knowledge and wisdom, I think, would be another way to look at it. We can have all the knowledge if we don't use it right. And discernment is that using it right, that wisdom. What's that?
I think it's the application.
The application, that's right. To use discernment, how is this? Yes.
And if a man says he loves his wife and he's got a problem with his brother, isn't he lying to his wife? If a man says that he loves his wife and he don't love God, isn't he lying to his wife? I mean, society has taught us to follow man's laws, and man's laws sometimes go against God's law. So if man tells us that he loves us and he's going against God's law, he's a liar. The Bible tells us several times in the Bible that all men are liars till they're convicted in their conscience to repent. How can a man know love unless he knows God?
That's right. I mean, there's different kinds of love. The love that's being used here is the word agape, which is what we would call God's kind of love, which is a good knowledge of knowing and doing. Yes.
I think in the verses that you've been reading there, I think that he's showing a special love for the church of Philippi there for what they did for him.
That's true.
You know, they sent Epaphras or whatever that guy's name was with a gift. And, you know, they came to visit him and they tried to keep him comfortable even though he was in prison.
Right.
You know, I think, but, you know, they had a real bond with him and he had a real bond with the church since he helped start the church there too.
Well, I think that's one of the things that Paul instilled in the people that he taught. And the people that worked with him and traveled with him and so on, that they learned what that meant to love and how to carry out that kind of love.
And in prison, I mean, you know, there's probably other people that maybe went to visit him, but these guys, you know, it's written here that they kind of helped him out.
Oh, definitely. And, you know, he talked about at different times that they would send him, send them for my cloak and things like that. Is it on topic, brother?
Yes, I love the Lord's law. And in the Lord's law, it says that we all are entitled to prosperity through knowing God's law. He gives us all prosperity. All prosperity.
He gives us spiritual prosperity. The other is just a bonus. This is not a prosperity. The Bible does not teach that we're guaranteed that we're going to be wealthy. Was Paul wealthy? No. Was many of the other Christians? No. Jesus told them, what?
I don't want to be wealthy. I just want to help my brother not to go to hell. And that's where some are headed today because of man's law that they're, maybe we're ignorant to. The law tells us that ignorance is no excuse for the law, but But if we know the law of God and we keep it from the people that need to hear it, the youth, then we're doing an injustice to God's law, I believe.
We need to share it, that's right. Verse 10, the reason that he wanted them to love more and more with knowledge and discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ. So he wanted them, if they loved like God loved, and they continued to grow in that love, then they would be able to approve what is right. And that's kind of what you're talking about too. We need to approve what is right and not approve what the things that are wrong. He says, prove of those things that are excellent. Excellent according to whose standard? According to God's standard. And if we keep that in mind, that we want to do what God's standard is, then that's what changes lives. That's what changes minds, is by the way how we stand for God and stand for God in love, stand for God in truth. And when we do that, by teaching the truth, by teaching and doing love by God's standard, that's how we overcome false teachings and false doctrine, by standing with the truth of the Word of God and doing it in love. Paul tells us, we're also told that we should, you know, teach and love, teach one another in love. And we're talking about how God loves us. That's how we're to be, and to love in that way. Okay, he continues on in verse 11. Having been filled with the fruit of righteousness. Again, we have to understand, you back up, all the way back up to verse 8. This is really one sentence, or verse 9. And I'll start in verse 9 and read down through verse 11, because this gives us a clear picture of this long sentence that Paul is writing. For God is my witness, how I long for you with all the affection of Christ Jesus. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Christ Jesus Christ, to the glory of God, glory and praise of God. And so these things all go together. They flow together. They're all a part of it. And, you know, to one thing together here. When you have love more and more, you learn to live in the excellence of Christ, so that you can be blameless, right? Blameless, and we know that it is through God's grace and God's mercy as we walk with him, that he makes us blameless. And until the day of Christ, of course, until that day that Jesus comes again. Having been filled, that's what we want, right? To be filled with his way, with the fruit of righteousness. If you're the fruit of something, you want not just to talk about righteousness. Righteousness needs to be right with God, but the results of that in our lives. The fruit of righteousness is the result of that. You have a pear tree. The result of a pear tree is getting pears off. If it's not producing pears, it's a beautiful tree, but there's no benefit to it as far as a fruit tree is concerned. And so, I'm sorry, someone say something? Sir, will we please stop that? I appreciate your heart and your compassion, but let's not continue to go over that and over it again, okay, please? Talking about the fruit of righteousness. What Jesus talks about in different places, the fruits of the Spirit, right? That we should have the fruits of the Spirit. That should be a part of our nature, a part of our culture, a part of our way. The fruits of abiding in Christ from John chapter 15, that he is the branches and we are the vine. He's the vine and we are the branches. And so we abide in him, we stay in him. So we are a part of God, the result of Jesus Christ. And it's also, this comes through Jesus Christ. Everything that we do, everything that we are, comes through Jesus Christ, to the praise and glory of God. Okay, any thoughts there before we go on?
I think these fruits of righteousness, if those things are in us, we don't have to tell people that they are. People recognize those fruits will accompany us wherever we go. Many righteous people have no need to tell people they're right, because the evidence is very plain.
Right.
And the same is also true on the reciprocal side of that. Our lack of righteousness is manifested by our lack of fruit. When it's not evident to others, who has made the statement about the, you know, if the law came in persecuting Christians, would they have to drop the case against us because there's no evidence of such?
Right.
We just can't find evidence that you're truly a Christian. Well, that would certainly be an indictment of its own to us. We don't want that to be the case. We don't want that to be a description of our lives. We don't want people to not recognize faithfulness in us. We want it to be known and
well,
evident without doing our deeds so that people will praise us. That's not our intent. But we do want to let our light shine before men so they'll glorify God.
The persecution that took place in the first and second centuries, by the Romans mostly, as it went about, that became so cruel and everything, it came down to the fact that will you stand for Christ if you'll deny him, even once a year, to say that Caesar is Lord, then you can keep your possessions, you can keep your home, you can keep your business. But if they wouldn't make that pinch once a year and say Caesar is Lord, then they often lost everything that they had. And they were persecuted very severely.
It says, give unto Caesar what is Caesar's. Give unto the Lord what's the Lord's. Well, we are the Lord's. We've been bought. We've been paid for. And if man's law comes against us and tries to convict us for something, then we have to go through persecution for that. God releases us. Then we seek to find why we've been persecuted. And when we find it, we want to share it with the ones that are lost out there in the world that need to be saved. That don't know that the sin that they're bearing on them can be let loose at the foot of the cross, and his yoke is light. And it's just, there's too many children, they grow up with hurting hearts, and then they become adults with hurting hearts, and they don't know, because nobody's told them that the laws that man's going by today were the laws that were against God's law.
Well, what we need to just teach them is the truth of God's law, God's love, and God's will. And if we're persecuted because we stand for that, then that's God's will that we do that.
I totally
agree. Yeah. Okay, our time for our class is up for tonight. I think the thing that we can gain for this tonight as we think about this in summary is that Paul, no matter whatever situation he was in, stood to live for Christ, to love for Christ. He encouraged the Philippian church here, that for them to love and to care for one another, and to grow in that love, grow in that relationship. As he knew, he was saying, this is what I have for you. This is the love that I have for you. I know that you have for me because I'm not with you. Don't forget what I've taught you and continue to grow in these things so that you can be more like Jesus Christ. So I think that's the call that we would have for anyone tonight, is that if you're not in Christ, if you don't know that love of Christ, that God wants you to have that and to be a part with that. So if you need to come tonight, won't you come as together we stand and sing.
All things are ready. Come to the feast. Come, for the table now is spread. Ye famishing, ye weary, come, and thou shalt be richly fed.
Come, you take the
come to the feast. Come, while he waits to welcome thee. Delay not while this day is thine. Tomorrow may never be.
Church or can't make it out to do other things. Let's remember them. Let's remember the ones that Doug talks about, the Ukrainians. They're in a war zone and they have, you know, I mean, it's pretty tough. It's real tough. Let's remember them. Let's remember the Blair's niece, Sophia. I was talking to Kelly. She said before Sophia had the surgery, her airway was almost 95% blocked all out. And so they go in there, and this is going to have to happen like every 3 months to go in there and correct this, is what Kelly told me. Georgia told me that Sue is going to be coming home to a nursing home at the end of Sloan Street. And I don't know how long she's going to be in the nursing home, or I don't know anything about it at all. I know she had the medical condition where the UPS guy found her after she passed out, and she ended up in St. Louis. And I think Georgia said she had some brain bleeds and things going on. So I guess they've corrected her enough to get her out of the hospital. And let's pray for her.
I think the reason she's going to care for her rehabilitation.
Yep. Okay. So let's remember Sue Clark in our prayers.
She still has vision problems.
Has breathing problems?
Vision problems.
Oh, she had vision problems from the brain.
Has double vision. Okay. And then sometimes it's, she said there's a picture on the wall outside her room, and she sees two of them.
Okay.
So she can't drive like that.
Okay. Anyway, let's remember Sue Clark in our prayers. Has anybody else got anything that we need to announce or anything? Then Brother Wall is going to lead our minds in prayer and dismiss us.
James, before we pray, I talked to Sue Clark this morning, and she was, like she said a while ago, she was in double vision and everything, but she's looking forward to getting back to Harrisburg, where her friends are, where she could also be close to church. So I'll continue to always remember her in our prayers. So she was really down, and we had a good talk and a good prayer with her, and so she appreciated it. Also, I talked with Jack Kane, and they are really down, and Doug needs to go see them, and also Judy Mayberry in North City, he needs to go see them, and Catherine Wright in El Dorado. They all need to have some personal contacts and some public prayer with them. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for another gorgeous day, for all the many blessings you've given us. And you continue to bless us, Father, as you see our needs. Continue to bless, Father, to bless our sister, Sue Clark. Pray she arrives safely in Harrisburg, and pray that her stay there will be profitable to her, that her double vision will turn back to normal, and her soreness from the fall will continue to leave. And we pray, Father, she'll soon be able to come back and sit with her pew with Georgia again. We're thankful, Father, for the progress she's made and continue to help her. We're thankful, Father, for the Millers, that they may have had a safe trip. And we pray for his mother, Father, who had her surgery on her face. We pray that will continue to heal so there will be no more pain. Bless all, Father, that needs our prayers in this life, needs help. Bless, Father, those in the Pearl's high-rise that need food. We pray, Father, we can work out some way to get that food to them or to fill their needs. we'd be with us all, Father, as we'd go back to our place of stay. Give us good night's rest and a good day tomorrow, Father. And also remind those people in Texas the terrible things they're going through and the losses they've had, and all those lovely girls and mom and dads that were lost. Father, for the best of their family with your tender love and care. And pray, Father, the rain that's threatened to come will not happen, so they can try to get back on their feet. Be with us through the night. Forgive our sin. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you for leading the singing. You do a good job. Appreciate you.
Yeah. When we came back, we were doing it.
I'm trying to get
it.